Thank God. Well, today we've been talking about family, but we're going to go in a little bit different direction today. I want to talk about the faithfulness of God. And I just haven't, we touch on that all the time. But just to go through some scripture, just to remind ourselves, just to build ourselves up on that subject. If you'll turn, we'll start in Hebrews 10:23. And we just sang about the faithfulness of God. We say it, but God is nothing if he's not faithful. It's the very character of his being. We're going to read some scriptures to that effect. If God's not faithful, we might as well throw everything out the window. Everything else out the window. If he's a liar, if we can't depend on him, how do we know we're saved? How do we know that he did what he said he would do? How do we know? If he's not faithful, if his word isn't true, all bets are off. But thank God he's a faithful God. Hebrews 10:23. It says there, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. He's faithful. Now here, the book of Hebrews is written to encourage some Jewish Christians to stay in the faith. They're being pressured to let go of Jesus. To go back, to go backwards. That's the context this is written in. And he's saying, hold fast your confession of Jesus. Don't turn away. Hold fast. Don't go back. Don't be deceived. Don't go back and believe that it's not Jesus. God is faithful. He says, hold fast. Now, we use this in different ways, and it's perfectly fine. We should hold fast our confession of what we're hoping for, what we're expecting without wavering. But you're talking about people that are ready to chuck the faith. Because they don't know if God's going to come through, if he's going to do what he said. And that's what this is saying. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. He can be depended on. I'm going to read a couple scriptures here before we really get going. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 1:9. It said, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's turn back to Isaiah in the Old Testament. Read one there. Isaiah 49:7. Isaiah 49:7. I have the last part of verse 7. I'm going to read the first part of verse 7 too. Last part's on your scripture. It says, thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, their Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nations abhors, to the servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship because of the Lord who is faithful. He is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, he has chosen you. But he's faithful. He is faithful. What does that mean? Let's look on your sheet there. That word faithful that we have up above in like Hebrews 10:23 and in a lot of places in the New Testament when it's talking about God, Strong's Concordance defines it as trustworthy. He's trustworthy. Same word in Vine's Expository Dictionary of a Biblical Word says faithful. That word means faithful, to be trusted, reliable. In the Old Testament there, like in Isaiah, for instance, Strong's Concordance says that word is to be faithful, of long continuance, steadfast, sure, surely, trusty, verified. I like that one. God is verified. We don't have to verify him. A lot of people are doing that today. Think they got to verify God. Think, well, if God's God, let's see him, you take your pick of all the examples. Let's see him stop this piece of chalk from hitting the ground. Or let's see God do this or that. Let's see him do it. Prove it to me. He's not the one that needs to be proved. He's verified. Who does man think he is to stand up and say, God, prove yourself? He's not under any obligation to show himself and prove himself to man. He has proven himself. You have to stick your head in the sand to not believe what God has put forward. So, you know, people get all into this, let's prove God. No, God's not the one that needs to be proved. But he's surely, trusty, verified. And then just generally the word faithful in the dictionary. If you go look up Merriam-Webster's dictionary, one of the definitions is firm in adherence to promises or an observance of duty, conscientious. And then the thesaurus about this word, faithful implies unswerving adherence to a person or thing or to the oath or promise by which a tie was contracted. I'm going to read that one again. Faithful implies unswerving adherence to a person or thing or to the oath or promise by which a tie was contracted. In other words, if a faith, somebody that who is deemed faithful, if they say something, they do it. They mean it. When we say somebody is a person of their word, we're saying they're faithful. They said they'll do it, they'll do it. They're not going to leave you out, hang you out to dry. Well, God's not going to hang us out to dry. He won't. He's faithful. His word is true. Let's turn over to Numbers 23:19. Just to stir ourselves up today, that when God said it, that he will do it. Sometimes it's subtle. In our minds, we say, oh, we've heard this. We all have at some point. We know. We know with our head God's faithful. But when stuff happens in life, it's subtle. But circumstances will try to tell you, will God really do it? I've been there. You know, I haven't had necessarily super horrible things happen in my life. But when certain things happen in your life, you find yourself wondering, is God going to be faithful? Is God going to come through? Is he going to do it? And the answer is always yes. He always will. He always will. But we have to be careful. That subtle thing, we say, oh yeah, God's faithful with our head, but right off on the side, it can just be like, well, is he really going to? Yeah, I know what we said in church, but is he really going to do it? Well, if he said it, he'll do it. Numbers 23:19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Repent there means to change directions. He's not going to change directions. If he said it, that's it. And we've said some of this in past weeks. If he said something, he doesn't change his mind. We talked about this when we were talking about being led by the Spirit several weeks ago. If he told you something, and it's the Spirit of God, and you get an inner witness, if he said it in his word, end of story, it's there. But we're talking about things that maybe aren't in the Word of God. Who are you going to marry? You know, what job are you going to take? Stuff like that. We were talking about that. You know, it's not in the Bible, Jim will work at such and such a place. Not there. We got to discern what God's will for our life is. But if he's told us something, and we believe that's him, then it'll be him tomorrow, and it'll be him next week, and it'll be him a month from now, and it'll be him 6 months from now, because he did not make a mistake. It's not like so much time is going to pass, and he's going to be like, you know, on second thought, I think we really should do this. No, his first judgment is perfect. He doesn't repent. He doesn't change. He doesn't go into a different way. If he told you to do something, it's God, it'll be God. It says, God is not a man. See, men do this. We got to be real careful that we don't apply what men do to him. And men will do this. Men will tell you something one day, and then you're depending on it, and then they don't come through. We all know that, right? We can't judge God by men. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? The answer, of course, is that's ludicrous. God himself is upholding this whole thing every day. The sun comes up. It's working. You know, the whole universe is working on a timetable. God put all that into existence. Let's turn over to Titus. Titus 1, 1. Titus 1, 1 says, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, he cannot, doesn't say he will not, who cannot lie, promised before time began. And he goes on to say, but has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. But chapter or verse 2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. He cannot. Cannot, you know, you probably heard this, but somebody say, can God do anything? Not everything. He won't lie. He cannot lie. So if we know he said something, that's it. It will not be broken. Period. So if we find something in the Word of God, and it's his Word, it says, we find what the Word says, it will come to pass, just like he said. He cannot lie. He will not break his promise. Jeremiah 1:12. Just going through today and just stirring ourselves up on God's faithfulness. Don't let this be too simple today. You know, I've heard this and check out. Nope. God's word is eternal. God's word, we can get so much out of it. And if we'll just, if I'm true, I'm telling you, if we really believed, sometimes the things we say we believe. If we really believe God, he cannot lie. That means if I see this in the Word, it's got to happen. See, we can do that, see it, and start to act on it and still have, I don't know. But if we'll just get it settled. Now, he's ready. If he said it, that's it. That can just quicken our faith. That can make it so much, you know, we're ready. We're ready to see him do it. We're ready to see him do what he said. It just raises our expectation. And what's that called? That's called faith. And how do we get things? It's by faith. It's not by just walking through life because we're a good person and say, oh, well, yeah, I say I believe that. No, are we expecting it? We believe. If he said it, he'll do it. That's faith. See, that's what draws it into existence. That's what makes it happen. And so it is faith. It's not just because we say we believe something or we've heard it. It's when we believe with our heart. Where are you, Jeremiah? Jeremiah 1:12. It says, then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. Now, my Bible here in the margin, it says literally that word ready is watching. I'm watching to perform my word. Can you imagine God's just there like this? Do it. You say it, and I'm on it. We were just at the Red Sox game. You know the way, you know, they don't, those outfielders, you look how big an outfield is. They don't just sit here like this, like, you know, kindergartners do or T-ball players. Like, you know, my son, Andrew, is playing. You know, they'll sit down and pick the grass and whatever, and the ball comes, and, you know, they're getting up, and it's like, what are you doing? We've all seen that, right? Yeah. You look at those guys out there, they're taking steps. And so when that ball's coming over that plate, they're ready. They're watching. They're ready for that ball so that they can go whatever direction. That's God. God's sitting there going, say it. Do it. I'm ready. I'm ready to perform my word. He's there. Thank God. Let's turn over to 1 Kings. I know I'm throwing a lot of scripture at you here, but we're going to get into some things. But we just want to see it throughout the word. God is, if we can get it over, God is ready. He's willing to perform his word. 1 Kings 8:56. This is Solomon speaking. He said, blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promise which he promised through his servant Moses. There hasn't failed one word. He's ready. And he does it. And Psalm is saying here, nothing has failed which he has said. Now let's turn over to Luke. We'll read this and we'll get into an example here. Luke 21. Luke 21:33. Luke 21:33. It says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. God's word. It was yesterday, it's going to be today, it is tomorrow. It won't pass away. God is faithful. So we've seen he's faithful. He will do what he said he can. He said he would do. He's trustworthy. He cannot lie. He's not a man. His words will not pass away, and he is ready to perform his word. Abraham. We'll talk about Abraham a little bit. Abraham was childless. Abraham had no offspring. And he's getting up in age. Turn back to Genesis. And God made him a promise. Genesis 15. Genesis 15, 1. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, the word of God, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said, so shall your descendants be. And what does it say? And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. So this is an example. God comes to Abram. Abram has no children. Abram is getting up there in years. And God says, you will have an heir. You will. You will. And he brings him outside just to give him an illustration and says, look at the stars. That's the way your seed is going to be. That's the way your offspring, your descendants are going to be. And it says Abraham believed him. He believed him. We're going to see he counted him faithful. He chose to believe that God was telling him was not, it wasn't some, you know, fluffy, some people say blowing smoke. It's not just something he's just chattering away. No, God said it, he meant it, and Abraham said, I believe that. What is that? It's faith. He believed it. He's believing what God said. Now turn a few chapters back in Genesis 21, verse 1. This applies to our lives. See yourself. Whatever promise it is that you've seen in God's word, that word that he said to you in your heart, and that you believe it's him speaking to you. See yourself in Abraham's position. See what he did and how he reacted to God, because he's in the book. And he affected history, all his descendants. Israelites, the Messiah, changed the world because he believed God. Genesis 21, verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. So he had a son. It came to pass. What God said came to pass. Now let's turn back to Hebrews. And there's a lot in between that we could read. The things, you know, it just didn't happen the next year. Abraham walked through some things, but he basically had to judge God faithful. He believed him, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, but he walked through some things. But it came to pass. Hebrews 6:13. It says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. You know, when somebody swears, they take the oath of office or something. You know, they put their hand, one hand on the Bible, one hand raised, and they swear by God that they're going to do what they said they're going to do, that they're going to uphold the office or whatever oath they're taking, right? Well, who's God going to swear by? He's it. He's it. God, he's the highest power. So when God, this is in the New International Version, I'm reading it in my Bible, I should read it from here, I think, from your scripture sheet. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so, after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. He saw it in his life. Verse 16, men swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Verse 17, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. It's impossible. It's not hard. It's impossible. He said he cannot do it. It is an impossibility for God to lie. It says, God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. Oh, I have the wrong chapter or verse on that next one. That's actually Hebrews 6:18. But in the James Moffat translation, it said, so that by these two solid facts, the promise and the oath, that it would be, and then it goes on to say that it would be made sure to who he was promising. The promise and the oath. God said, I'm going to make sure you understand that what I say will happen. It's impossible for it not to happen. Thank God. Romans 4. Let's go there. Now we can say, well, God's promised all these things in his word. And there's people that go to church. There's people that have even heard different things. They're, you know, same type of things, like what we're saying today. But I don't see their life any different. Why is that? If God himself has spoken these things, if he's promised these things, and he said it will happen, why aren't we seeing certain things? Well, this is where we bring it home in our lives. Romans 4:19. It says, and not being weak in faith, he, Abraham, did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith. He believed God, and he didn't let the circumstances or what he was seeing move him off. He didn't waver at what God had promised. Verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced. He was fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. See, this is where the rubber meets the road, and this is the difference between knowing something and hearing somebody preach on it or seeing something in the Word, and yes, I know God can, even if you're convinced that God is faithful. Even if, I mean, you've heard it. Not convinced, but you've heard that God is faithful. You've heard that God cannot lie. If we don't take it to the next step and apply it to our lives and say, it will happen, I'm fully convinced that what He said, He's fully able to do. Fully. Abraham could have said, yeah, that's nice, God, but man, after a few years, I don't see this happening, and I just don't believe it anymore. Yes, it's, you know, like today we could say, oh, I saw this happen for so-and-so, and I saw it happen here, I've read about it, but I just don't see it happening. I don't know what it is, but it just doesn't work. We have to be fully convinced in our lives that it's going to work. That's faith. That's believing. That's what brings it into this world and is the difference between having heard something and having, you know what the Word says, but believing it. Verse 21, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. He can get it done. He can get it done in my life now. Not off in the future sometime, but if he said it, I can take it and it can be done. That's fully convinced. That's when we take it. That's when we take everything we've said and say, God, if you can't lie, if it's impossible, and I see this in the Word and I'm fully convinced, this is why it's so important that we have to be fully convinced from what God said that something is going to happen. It's not enough to hear somebody else say it and say, well, so-and-so said it. I think I'll try that. It won't work. Because they're not the one that promised it to you. They don't have the power to get it done. Only God does. So we have, that's why we read the Bible. That's why we look at the Word. Because if we can find it in here, then we can take it back to the source and say, God, you said this. Just like you would a contract in the natural. We understand this very well. When you buy a house, you do any kind of business transaction, why do we have a contract? Because yes, we can talk back and forth, but stuff can be lost in the translation. We've all found that. But if you have it in writing, and both parties agreed to that in writing, then something isn't done or something should be done or whatever, you go back to the writing and said, it says right here, this is your responsibility. This is what you have to do by law. And the law will back you up. If it's a binding contract under the law, they have to do it. See, this is our contract. And we have to look at it as such. We have to look at it. We have to get it in our hearts. If I see it in here, it's not enough to hear somebody say it on TV or to flip up some scripture. If you're not convinced it's here, it won't work. If it's not, because you won't be fully convinced that God said it. And if it's not in here, you have no hope of it happening. Because if somebody told you it's in here, but it's not in here, who's going to get it done? That guy that told you? No. If some guy had told Abraham you're going to have a child, not going to happen. Because only God was able to perform that miracle. So he said in verse 21, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. We get to that point where we see it, we say, God, you're able. You're bigger than this. You're able to do this. Turn back to Hebrews. Hebrews 11:11. Hebrews 11:11 says, by faith, you know, this is all these different examples of faith. Hebrews 11:11 says, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who had promised. She judged God faithful. She heard what God said, and she made a judgment call and said, God can do it. He's faithful. He will do it. I believe it. And that's what we all do in our life. We say, we hear something, and if we know it's from Him, we have a decision. Faith is not something we work up. Faith is not something we try real hard to do. We get it from what He said in here to do it, and then we make a judgment call, a decision to believe Him, and then if we've done what the Word says, we say, we throw everything out the window and judge Him faithful who promised and just believe Him. Because she judged Him faithful who had promised. Thank God. Hebrews 13:8, just a couple chapters over. Don't have to turn there, but we might as well. We're so close. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So He has not changed. The same way He was operating, this is good news. And we'll read the even better news in the next verse. But if He operated this way with Sarah and Abraham, He promised something, they judged Him faithful, they received. If that's the way He operated then, that's the way He operates now. Galatians 2:6, let's turn over there. And we'll close with this. Galatians 2:6. Galatians 2:6 says, but from those who seemed to be something, whatever they were, Paul's talking about when he was dealing with some of the other apostles and whatever. He says, but those who seemed to be something, whatever they were, outward appearance, you know, were they a personality, were they a big wig, were they a big shot, so forth. But from those who seemed to be something, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me. God shows personal favoritism to no man. And in my margin, what it literally says is God does not receive the face of a man. In other words, He doesn't do something because of who you are. Thank God. In other words, it doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter the family line you came from. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter your ethnic background. It doesn't matter what part of the country you live in. When we come to Him, He's not showing personal favoritism. He does, however, recognize one thing. If we believe Him or not. And that's the difference. It doesn't happen automatically for everybody. Just, well, we know God can do this, so we'll just wait and see if He can do it. That's not the way it operates. We can see that He's promised something, and we say, that's for me. I believe it. I judge You faithful. I'll take it. I believe it's going to happen in my life. And that's how it happens. Over and over, we see that through the Gospels, through Jesus when He goes. He says, your faith has made you whole. Paul was preaching, and the man, he said he could see that the man had faith, and he just told him to get up and walk. He could see it. Over and over, we see that people who believe God. When we read that God is ready, He's watching to perform His word. He's just waiting for somebody to take Him and judge Him faithful and say, yeah, God, I believe You can do it. He's waiting. And then that's what happens. That something happens when we make a demand on that, when we make a demand on what He said He would do. The contract's written. He's waiting for somebody to call in and say, I believe I'll take that. That's mine. Amen. It's already written. It's already there. But so many people say, I don't know why God isn't doing it. I'm a good person as far as I know. I don't know. I'll just wait. Waiting doesn't get it done. Begging Him doesn't get it done. People ask Him over and over, God, please do it. Please do it. Please. That doesn't do anything. Nothing. Won't do anything. People all over asking Him the same thing over and over and over, thinking it'll get done because of what we're at. It won't happen. It happens by us believing what He said He would do and fully convinced, fully persuaded, and saying, God, I'll take that, and stepping in. Amen? And it starts with judging Him faithful, though. And believing that He will do what He said He could do. Because it doesn't matter, and that He can do it. And if we have that, it quickens our faith to say, okay, all it is me just being convinced of that. That's why if we see it in the Word, we take a hold of it and we can have it. Amen? Thank You, Lord. Well, I hope your faith is quickened. Thank You, Lord.